Good.
You're good.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Town of Curry Beach Regular Town Council Meeting, Monday, August 15th, 2022. John, may we have an invocation and a Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Yes. Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your love for all people. We give you thanks for those who witness to your love and grace in our community and throughout the world, especially in the face of adversity and persecution. God of creation, we pray for all places being impacted by natural disasters and drought. Transform the devastated earth into fertile ground of new life and growth. God of peace, we pray for a world that is in need of peace and compassion and healing and hope, especially those places impacted by hatred, war, violence, and oppression. Inspire the world leaders to work for joy, justice, and peace for all people. God of healing, we pray for our community, celebrating with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. In our tears as well as in our joy, we pray for your presence in our lives. Receive these prayers that we lift up to you, O God, and also those prayers in our hearts known only to you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, gentlemen, if you'd please take a look down the five items in the consent agenda and let me know if you have any changes.
Make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
Motion to approve. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Moving on to the adoption of the regular agenda. Please take a look through the agenda and let me know if there are any changes recommended, omissions, or additions.
Make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
All in favor of approving the agenda as posted, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. All right. Moving on to the public comment portion of this. We have got 9 individuals to speak.
Hello? Yes, ma'am?
Hello?
Ma'am, can you hear us? Can you check that we're not muted, Mandy?
We're not.
We're not muted, okay. Okay, well, we have nine names on the list, all on the same subject. Some have spoken before, so we will be using 3 minutes. At 3 minutes, I will ask you to stop. First on this would be Ed, Mr. Ali.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
State your name and your address, please.
Sure. My name is Ed Ali, and I live at 402 San Man Drive. And I'd like to speak today about the changes, and I'm probably one of the least informed about actually what's really proposed and what's being done other than I know the changes to the boardwalk are being considered. I've heard things about pavement and other things. I walk on that boardwalk, excuse me, every morning with my dog. I've been counting people, and I count anywhere from a high to 30 to 35 to a little 15 every morning. I see dogs. I see families, I see mothers pushing strollers, see a lot of things, and most importantly, the pavement gets so hot in time that people, most often, they don't walk barefoot on the pavement, they walk on the boardwalk, because it's cooler on the woods than it is on the pavement. And so, the quaintness of what we have at Curry Beach and the people who enjoy that boardwalk, and you see it in the tourists and on all of us, and they're very friendly greeting, happy good morning, how are you? It's a very pleasant environment. The people who, and I speak to you about safety, as far as safety, there are issues with what I would call electric or motorized vehicles. 5-10 years ago, we didn't have electric scooters, we didn't have electric skateboards, we didn't have, you know, some of the cyclists that we have right now, they don't pay attention to the stop signs. They don't pay attention to the one way. And I've seen near misses of tragic incidents between bicycles and vehicles on that road. And it's only a matter of time before that happens. So I worry about how you're going to administer the safety on the road as you change it, if I just put in a line somewhere or a sign somewhere, because it isn't working today, and eventually it will happen. The other thing that I would share with you is I spent 45 years of my career in the public service. I just recently spent the last 20 years in Hanover East Medical Center as your chief financial officer. And we've made a lot of decisions over the years, I hope good ones, but one of the things that always troubled us in our decision making was the unintended consequences of our decisions. Because as much as we try to think about what it is we know and what we can protect and what we can do, we can't understand what the future brings. We don't understand the proliferation of electric devices and vehicles. And so that proliferation and the unintended consequences that could be created by doing something like what I would call paving a cow path or doing something different. None of us will know when we make this decision. We'll know 5 or 10 years after it's too late, because it's not something that can be undone. So I'd encourage you to really gather the facts, of which I have none, and give thoughtful consideration about the unintended consequences and the safety of that boardwalk and the quaintness of Curry Beach in that, in your considerations.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ollie. Next would be Megan Garrett. Okay.
Megan Garrett of 133 Settlers Wing. I'm here tonight to share my opinion on the proposed peddling and solicitation amendment. I'm a little over a year ago, I began a conversation with police Chief Bowden about the lawfulness of busking downtown. Busking is defined as performing in a public space and accepting voluntary donations. Pictures of him playing with an open guitar case. We had some back and forth in which one of the ordinances he brought up was this one, so I'm happy to see that the article is being rewritten as it was unclear previously. My comments are two parts. First, my personal feelings about the assumed intent and how a future amendment should address busking, and secondly, my overall feedback on the proposed as written amendment. The purpose stated includes providing reasonable place for such activities, but does not produce a reasonable place when you take away all the prohibited places listed. It pretty much says you can do this in public, but not in any of the public parts of the town. I believe the town's intent is to protect the welfare of the people in the town, and you don't want any behavior that can put a resident or visitor in danger, as your intent should be. Therefore, in my opinion, the prohibited acts should simply read, it shall be illegal and a violation of this article for any person to solicit, beg in, or request money or other thing of value in an aggressive or intimidating manner, period. Other ordinances already exist for blocking right-of-ways and causing other dangerous situations, and any further extension of prohibitions are overreaching, as they do not impact the welfare of citizens and unduly impact rights of free speech. In relation to busking, I believe that under the proposed definition of soliciting, one could argue that having an open guitar case could be interpreted as other communicated requests for a donation, and as such would not be permitted under the current proposal, which prohibits all places one would traditionally busk. If this is the council's intent, I ask that you reconsider, as busking can be a safe and enjoyable activity for your residents and visitors. Busking is not the same as performing as part of an organized and formal event, and allows freedom of expression in a low-stress environment. During the pandemic, my husband and I found we really enjoyed playing acoustic instruments on our porch and getting waves from passers-by. I have hoped to occasionally busk down near Oceanfront Park when the pandemic restrictions were loosened, taking a break to buy a coffee at Happy Hippies, maybe with what was collected in my hat, and then continue my day where my spirit moved me. I hope that your final revision of the ordinance will allow me to make this vision a reality. To further express my desire and end result, I have drafted a proposed amendment, which I've submitted to the town clerk with this statement that especially calls out how this could be applied. Now, personal feelings aside, based on my assumptions of your intent, the wording of the proposal that was included in the agenda is overly restricted. It would not produce the results that I believe you're desiring. Examples of resulting illegal practices would include tip jars or printed lines on receipts. Anywhere after sunset would be not according to law. Also, donation collections at the beach, church, town hall, community center, fire station, including food drives, various spread
Ms. Garrett, I need to ask you to stop now.
Yeah, I was gonna
but
say,
you can put that, and we did get the note.
Yes.
And we will be discussing this later on tonight in this meeting.
Thank you for your time and consideration.
You bet. Thank you. Howard Ames.
Gentlemen, my name is Howard Ames and I live at 313 Atlantic Avenue. I'm going to briefly describe my factual points and then I'll have an ask to please take certain things off the table. One, the Division of Coastal Management has approved your application to replace the Atlantic Avenue boardwalk with an 8-foot wide walkway / sidewalk made of concrete or other acceptable materials. Two, in the town of Curry Beach Bike Path Committee's master plan, it's recommended that the boardwalk be redesigned to become a multi-use path. However, according to the guidelines set forth by the North Carolina Department of Transportation, the minimum width for a multi-use path should be 10 feet, with 12 feet being preferable. It also states the sidewalk should never be designated as a multi-use path, and that a multi-use path should not be located adjacent to a roadway with multiple intersecting points. Three, in a memorandum from the Division of Coastal Management, it stated that increasing the width of the walkway / pathway / sidewalk along Atlantic Avenue will increase the ability of the public to utilize the numerous student crossovers to access the public trust beach and the Atlantic Ocean. That is, DCM sees this project as improving the ability of pedestrians to access the beach and not for a bicycle thoroughfare. Four, as a reminder, the CAM application and the approval both state that this project is a walkway / sidewalk. However, in the town of Curry Beach Municipal Codes, Ordinance 1.4.10, the definition of a sidewalk states that it is, quote, intended for the use of pedestrians. In Ordinance 10.12.20K, it states, quote, no person shall ride a bicycle upon any sidewalk in the town. Of course, safety for pedestrians on a proposed multi-use path is very much a concern. As I've described previously, placing a bicycle path in the sand dune just doesn't make sense, not to mention that e-bikes, skateboards, roller skates and other electric assisted modes of transportation can utilize the multi-use path as well. We really want that. So my answer, please take multi-use path off the table. Just make and pass a motion that the Atlantic Avenue Boardwalk project will not be utilized as a multi-use path. It will be for pedestrians and not bicyclists. In addition, please add that bollards will not be utilized. Of course, we ask that forced concrete be taken off the table as well. Builders don't pour concrete foundations in or near the dunes. They use 8x8 wooden supports that flex with the sand. Why would you think that pouring a concrete path in the sand would perform any better? Plus, a concrete path gives joggers and elderly pedestrians only one option of a hard surface, whether on the path or the street, having wood or composite with a little yield gives them two options. And lastly, although I was told that the boardwalk issue would be on this month's agenda, if you can't address my ask at this meeting, I'm requesting the way of the boardwalk project onto the agenda for next month. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ames. Ms. Ames.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Ames. I live at 313 Atlantic. There are two issues here. The state of the boardwalk, which hasn't been maintained, no sealant, plant overgrowth, no air circulation, and the bike plan to make two blocks of Atlantic Avenue into a runway for bikes, skaters, skateboarders, etc., and empty them into where? Do they empty onto the downtown boardwalk area where the families are unloading with their wagons, the fishermen with their carts, the trucks that pull up over the parking bumpers? Do you create more room for them by removing the memorial benches and garbage cans? Because the memorial benches come within 5 feet 3 inches of the street. It really narrows down there. Much of what the bike committee came up with is worthwhile. This portion, however, has not been thought out. Where is the protection for the pedestrian use of the boardwalk? Atlantic Avenue is a 10-mile-an-hour road. Bikes should be on the street. What's the plan for connecting the runway to the boardwalk at L? There's a 27-inch rise. So will that be a ramp? How can you raise a cement mound on sand? Because the river walk, the portion that's cement is the part that's cracking. The wooden part is okay. So, as my husband said, please take bollards off the table as a barrier. I mean, that's the only official barrier that's been stated into the record, and it's been stated every 6 feet. That's 205 bollards down that two blocks of Atlantic Avenue. That's more than Costco, Target, Sam's Club, and Walmart combined. Now let's put 1,230 feet in into perspective, because that's what we're talking about in this two-block area. It's 410 yards, four football fields. Seven buildings in New York City are higher than that is long. It's just over 0.2 miles. A bike going the speed limit will be done with it in less than a minute and a half. All of that disruption to the pedestrian access to the public trust. For what?
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Ames. Is that Kelly Carey? Okay.
My name is Kelly Carey, and I rent over at Atlantic Avenue and have done that for the last 25 years. I'm here to talk about the boardwalk as well. One of the reasons I come here is for the rich history, and it is not like any other beach towns that I have ever gone to, and there is a community here, and you can feel it. I love walking every day on the boardwalk. I love the feel of it, the look of it, and the fact that it looks like it's been here for longer than it has. It was an upgrade and allowed people to walk along, meet each other, take in the beautiful scenes of the beach, and enjoy catching up after not seeing each other for however long. It's reminiscent of years gone by and gives this town character. And when you go to walk or fish on the pier, it looks and feels like a continuation. A cement sidewalk does not belong there. This isn't Charlotte. It is a boardwalk, not a sidewalk. It is a beach. It is beachy for a beach town. Are you going to cement the pier next? To maintain the boardwalk is less than building and creating an eyesore that will greatly impact the character and landscape of Perry Beach. Allow this to go to the people and citizens of this great town, and let them vote on this so that they can decide together on how to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Christine Peterson.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Christine Peterson, and I'm here to talk about the boardwalk as well. I am also going to read a note and represent Helen Peterson. To the gentlemen of Kerry Beach Council, I respectfully speak with you once more regarding the Atlantic Ave boardwalk. As abutters on Atlantic Ave, we received your letter in June informing us of the application you submitted to CAMA on behalf of the town of Kerry Beach for a permit to remove our iconic boardwalk, replacing it with a ground-level 8-foot concrete sidewalk and potentially removing the landscape necessary to buffer the roadway. Assuming because the particulars of the application did not reflect in any way the published vision of the townspeople regarding the project, you chose to submit without our knowledge or input. Our shock and disbelief forced us into an adversarial mode. As we needed to pursue our own due diligence, we have had many questions directed to you. What has been most disconcerting is that so many of your responses have been inconsistent and at times seemingly disingenuous. We can and should expect better than that. One of your explanations was that it was necessary to act before the deadline of August 1st, 2022, averting a CAMA regulation. You had no intention to pursue the project. The permit is applicable up to 3 to 4 years. Yet, since your last meeting, several of you have said that you plan to vote at this meeting today, whether you intended to go ahead at this time or wait. And yet you chose not even to include the boardwalk in your published agenda for this meeting. This leaves us confused and concerned and questions trust. Please, and I respectfully request that this council have a frank and open discussion at this meeting so we the people can know your individual standing on this important project and the plan, and use this as an opportunity to respect this important decision as you would any other agenda items here today. Collectively, you find a way to effectively dispel the negative environment that permeates much of the community regarding this project. and assuring us that we can expect to work together and only in a truly inclusive way going forward. Please share your plans and thoughts. I just want to say that as a mom of Cary Beach with four little kids, I remember when this was put in, and I totally agree with the safety point that was made earlier. My little kids have walked in barefoot along that walkway, and I felt so much safer having them up top away from any cars or bikes that were on the street. I ride my bicycle down that street almost every day, and I tell you, it works perfectly. I can see people.
I need to ask you to stop now. Thank you very much. Next up.
We ask the council to vote on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Peterson.
Good evening.
Good evening.
No timer anymore.
Yes, it's right here.
Okay, thank you. We often choose to live, visit, raise families, and build businesses where we feel safe, find contentment, and are inspired by a community's quality of life. For 52 summers, I've been lucky enough to visit this town, and like you, over those years, I have seen change. The pier has always been the one foundational constant in this community, but around it came evolution. A stoplight, a community center, a recreation complex, a dog park, a public safety campus, and this new state-of-the-art building. But in 1996, the town had the fortitude to build a boardwalk, which, like the pier, but unlike the list above, quickly became a defining attribute of this community. It is your charge, altering that attribute would be a poor decision. I, along with countless residents and visitors, ask you to reconsider that decision, to change the form and functionality of our boardwalk. We want a boardwalk. We do not want a sidewalk. For the most part, local government works quietly and seamlessly. We trust our elected officials to act on our behalf, be our voices, be our eyes. Your charge is to address the needs of our community and its constituents, and ignoring our voices and wishes would simply be irresponsible and disrespectful. I ask and implore you to consider this issue that's facing this town in an open format, and share your intentions. I appreciate your service as always. Thank you.
Thank you. DJ Peterson.
Thank you, and good evening. And thank you for these opportunities just to have an open mind.
Sure.
It's really important.
Please state your address.
My name is DJ Peterson, and I'm at 214 Fort Fisher Boulevard North.
Okay.
That's my house. I spoke to you remotely at the June meeting, and just want to meet you in person and talk in person. But I am one of those people that's out there weeding the plants and pruning the roses and fertilizing the roses out there and taking care of the grasses. I see the maintenance problems. I've repaired or tried to repair, tighten down boards and the side railing. So I totally get the challenges. But I do think the process for how we take those challenges and where we go has been a little bit disconcerting. And I think we've heard these words earlier, trust keeps coming up. Intent, I think, is another one. Obviously, you started with a 10-foot plan for the 10-foot, but Canva said no, you couldn't really do that without going through a major permit process. So it was reduced to 8 feet, with the intent of speed. But we know that 8 feet doesn't work for a multi-use path, so we've got a problem there. We heard about the bollards. Again, I'm out there, I've been replanting roses because when people back out from all those properties, they back and they drive over the plants. But you can imagine they're going to drive into the bollards. And the plants are at least a little bit more forgiving. So I would really think about how the neighbors actually use it. We've heard talk about the oyster shells. We put oyster shells down, it's not legal anymore to do oyster shells. We've heard from members of the council that we'll have an engineering firm come design it. We'll have a review process, a design review process, and none of that seems to be happening. Now I'm hearing there's going to be an RFQ issued, request for qualifications. So I think that raises a lot of questions, and that's the problem. I mean, Turie Beach is a great town. It's got great management. It's got, and I'm starting to see it really erode. We're all here jamming up the meeting. Bike committee is getting jammed up. We've got 666 people online signing the petition. So I think I'm just really worried that things are going to fall apart. And then it's going to affect, you know, the bike committee's plans to do the buffer zone and put the back, and that's not going to get done. Or it's going to get kind of messy. So I guess what I'm asking, through just reciting some of this, is I would really like to hear, and I think we've heard it tonight, is the town council actually put yourselves on the record. Where do you stand on this? What is the process going to be now that you got the permit? So we can have this transparency and clarity and move forward together. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. And Susan Sewell.
Why are you doing this? Why are the five of you moving forward with something that 90% of our community is against? My question to you is, before you started this process and had the Bike Ped Committee come up with a plan, did you sit down and ask yourselves, did you ask the community, could we do a better job taking care of our iconic boardwalk? Did you ask yourself, you know, what ideas could we do to lessen the impact on the maintenance department, because it seems the maintenance department is really the one driving this whole issue that they do not want to continue to take care of the boardwalk. Have you done anything to figure out how to maybe properly let some airflow under our current boardwalk? Have you done anything to figure out how to actually maintain it on a regular basis? I see, and I don't know anybody's name, I don't know anybody on the maintenance crew, I see the gator right down my street every day, multiple times a day. Whoever the gentleman is that's driving it looks straight ahead, does not even glance at the boardwalk. So if they don't want to continue to maintain it, where are they maintaining it? Because very rarely do I see anybody walking it or repairing it. They get out there when it needs to be addressed after months of a board that you walk in or the side pieces need to be replaced. So did you ever have conversations of how can we better maintain in a more efficient and economical way what we have? I don't know, how did David, who used to work here, how was it never a problem when he was an employee here? I spoke to David. He said, it was my job, Susan, I enjoyed doing it. Well, why isn't there another employee taken over in that position to where they are taking care of our boardwalk, where it's not an issue? Have you asked the community? Have you asked contractors? You know, I don't know if any conversations, so why did you just decide, because the maintenance staff doesn't want to maintain it, why did you decide to do something like this? So that's my main question that I want answered. We have all presented to you all the reasons why, you know, it shouldn't be done what you're proposing. We have talked to people in the community, the film industry, the Coastal Federation. We've all done our homework. We've been doing due diligence now for a couple of months. I just don't understand how the five of you elected officials who represent this community and the people in this room, how can you do something that the majority of the community is completely against? And how can you do it in a way that we feel like that we still don't have an opportunity to actually get answers to our questions from you? I was told to come to the Bike Ped Committee to be able to talk more about it. Alan, you pretty much told me to sit down and be quiet at the Bike Ped Committee. So when do we get to have those conversations? When can we feel comfortable having those conversations? And when can we get answers from all of you?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, that covers the public comment. Do we have any presentations this evening? Mandy?
Actually, I have two emails coming out.
Are they from citizens?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Time.
The first one is from Tom Dentino. He lives at 317 4th Avenue North. With regards to the boardwalk, I have spoken to many people in town, and the main issue seems to be having a multi-use path on Atlantic Avenue. I also do not want to compete with non-pedestrians when walking on Atlantic Avenue. We all understand the boardwalk needs work, but everyone wants it to remain a pedestrian walkway with wheelchair access. Thank you, Tom Dentino. The next one is from Maureen Dentino, 317 4th Avenue North. It financially makes no sense at all to tear out the existing boardwalk and pour ground level concrete. To have e-bikes, e-scooters, bicycles, skateboards, rollerblades, strollers, joggers, walkers, elderly, children, and dogs in the same area is absolute recipe for disaster and is absurd. It seems the tail is wagging the dog and it should be the other way around. You are elected officials whose job is to represent the people of Perry Beach, and we do not want a concrete ground level runway. Repair, not replace our boardwalk. Thank you, Maureen Dentino.
Okay. Thank you. I don't believe there are any presentations.
No, sir.
Okay. Moving on to committee business, Bike Ped Advisory Committee. Mo, anything to report?
But the amazing part of that is three of the members of our team were Centurions riding over 100 miles. Commissioner Oliver rode over 100 miles. Eileen Clute on our committee rode over 100 miles. And Commissioner John Ellen not only rode over 100 miles, but he rode the most that anybody rode in the whole Tour de Blueberry. So I actually like to.
Congratulations, man.
So it was a lot. We had 695 miles altogether. It was a lot of fun. Of course, it was virtual, so. You know, we were in different places, maybe even different countries at that time. We have had in our committee email a request for the stop yield for pedestrian signs that we used to have to be put back up on Fort Fisher. So they're not up there. And they're the ones that you'll see in Carolina Beach as you go through.
I think they've been ordered.
They're on order.
Yeah. They're on order.
So we just don't have them? Is that why they're not?
Correct.
Well, people keep running over them, so yes. Okay.
Well, we're getting requests that they, and especially at M. And I know M and Fort Fisher is our first crosswalk with lights, mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what the time frame on that's going to be, but you know, we're just trying to be patient waiting for all this to happen to make it safer in our town. We're working on some island maps with Mike Hoffer and Carolina Beach. They did a fabulous map to help travelers get through Carolina Beach. And we're working with them to continue that. And then we're also working on the landscaping, the signs and the bench and what we'll need down at the connector. And Tuesday markets went great. A lot of people came to our table and spoke to us at the Tuesday markets about, you know, what they like in the town, according to what our bike pet committee is doing. And I think that's it, unless you have any questions for me.
I don't have any questions for you tonight, Mo. I did want to tell you that Alan may have told you that our rep, Charles Miller, did get us $120,000 for two extra crosswalks. So we should be seeing...
Yeah, we've not received that notification from DOT yet that we've received.
We should be receiving that DOT notification shortly.
Okay, that sounds
okay.
Great.
So that's helpful on top of the DOT funding that was awarded to us by the MPO. Okay, thank you, Mo. Community Center Committee, is John in the office? Yes, he is. John, would you like to tell us what's going on with the Community Center?
Good evening, I'm John Shalansky. The Community Center Committee is, we just got two new members on the committee. Still looking for new members. Planning some events for, especially around Christmas. We're planning the Christmas ball activity that we've had in the past, you know, for residents. And also looking into a cookie exchange for around the Christmas season. If anyone has any ideas around recreation or events that we can have at the community center, please feel free to give them to me or Mayor Craig or, you know, any one of us. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Any input from the Historical Preservation Commission?
We did not meet last month. However, I just want to mention one thing that kind of raised a red flag in the presentations regarding the boardwalk. Should point out about half the boardwalk lies within the historic district. And I just read quickly our ordinance requiring review, and it does include pavements and that sort of thing. And so the question is whether the town is exempt from the historic district requirements because about half the boardwalk does lie within the historic district and may require a COA process and a review process.
Okay, good point. Good to know. Marketing committee, any input, John?
No, we haven't had a meeting since our last council meeting. We're actually scheduled to meet tomorrow.
Okay.
And that's a special meeting where they're going to interview some applicants to be members. And then the regular meeting is a week after that.
So. Okay. On the parking committee update, give me one moment, please. Oh. We're actually having a very good year on parking. I believe, Arlen, the number I thought was like 574, we're about right now, 574,000.
Yeah, probably in that ballpark.
So with still approximately 8 weeks of season to go. So town is doing well. I think the community is doing well based on what we will be able to bring in. So parking committee is working fine. Complaints are fewer. People are learning the system, et cetera. Planning and Zoning Commission.
Again, we did not meet last month, but I will present during a later agenda item regarding the Planning and Zoning's recommendation regarding the text amendment.
Okay. Shoreline access and beach protection.
Nothing new to report.
Okay. Nothing to report. Stormwater committee?
Nothing to report this month. We do have some stormwater issues further down in the department head.
Right. Okay. All right, then moving on to department head business. Administration. Mandy?
There's just that list of surplus items from
Okay.
Just a few things that I have to legally report to you guys.
Do we have people interested in them right now?
They're gone.
Oh, they're all gone.
We've already
sold them all.
We've already sold them.
Anything that had to be advertised is advertised.
Right. Okay.
Or sold.
Okay. Good.
We're good there. And then I'll have another, I guess, some updated information later under another department head.
Okay, thank you. Building inspections, John.
Mr. Mayor. You guys have a legislative hearing earlier this evening for a proposed tax amendment, and I believe you wanted me to kind of give you a rundown on it a little better. But
do you want me to send you this on the screen?
Yeah, pop it up there. Cool.
What part?
Start out with the proposed tax application.
Okay.
We were recently made aware of a new roof structure being built at 213 Fort Fisher Boulevard North. It was done without permits, and it was on a non-conforming property. This particular property has three, probably 1950s era, small fishing cottage buildings on that have been renovated over the years. The one that is the issue is the one all the way in the rear part of the property that had an existing ground level deck. The new property owner built a new shed roof structure over top of the existing deck without permits. It is a non-conforming house and deck to setbacks. We apprised him of that issue, and he presented this tax amendment application to be considered. You should have been included some pictures and a memo from my department on this. We have a non-conforming ordinance already for things like this. And the way our ordinances are crafted, they are crafted so that when a property owner has a non-conforming structure, he's welcome to keep that and maintain it, upgrade it, and take care of it as it is. But if he ever wants to add on to it, he cannot add on to it. He cannot make any additions that would make it more non-conforming. And so my recommendation from my office would be to deny this tax amendment because this would encourage more non-conforming situations like this to become more non-conforming.
Okay. So, John, is the permanent structure that's a problem? A temporary structure, like an awning, would be acceptable when it retracts?
Something like a retractable awning, we would not permit, sir.
We would not permit it?
Okay. Stop saying.
They would be allowed to have it.
They can put that up.
It wouldn't be required.
They could put that up. All right. Okay. And you said there was no permit. They did not get a permit when they put this up.
So you don't have any clue that this would hold up in a storm or there's no engineering or anything?
If you were to approve this, I'd make them come back and get a permit for it and then I'd explore and see what it's like.
Okay.
Anybody have any further questions for John? He's given us his recommendation.
Not for John, just P&Z.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Craig.
Craig Galbraith, Chairperson of the Planning and Zoning Commission. When this came before the Planning and Zoning Commission, we had a fairly lengthy discussion on it. It was almost about an hour, I believe. One of the things I think is important from a planning and zoning perspective is the importance of two issues. One is a text amendment, because any sort of text amendment applies to the town in general, not just the one specific thing, but for anybody that would be in the town would then fall under that text amendment. So it has to be looked at very, very seriously. Because it does not only set a precedent, but also establishes a law for future development. Second thing is the whole idea of non-conforming. Non-conforming structures is a very important part of planning and zoning because you do want to make things conforming over time. And so we clearly have a series of ordinances here designed to kind of encourage people to move to things into a conforming way, or if it stays non-conforming, it's done for specific reasons, such as handicap ramps and that sort of thing. So this came before the plan of zoning. We had a good discussion about these sort of issues.
We ended up with a 2-2 vote on this, so we don't really have a recommendation. We only have four people planning and zoning there, so we tied, so we do not have a formal recommendation. I will say that the discussions for this particular text amendment really resolved around the idea that originally we thought, well, could there be an exception, some way of doing an exception for this specific situation without doing a text amendment? And the answer was no, that it did not qualify under the town's categories for an exception related to this. So the only way to go really is some sort of text amendment. The folks that felt it was okay to have this felt that it was a relatively minor change. Against it were two basically things. One, again, it sets a precedent, and it does create a situation that anybody within the town might be able to do. The other issue was more of a technical issue as to whether this is the proper place for something like this, because when you look at this, it's under a change of roof design, talking about flat roofs and so forth, and really what this does is it adds an additional non-conforming element where people can extend beyond what they already have. And so there's a question, kind of a technical issue, as well as the appropriateness of doing a text amendment for something like this. So again, we did have a good discussion, we ended up with a 2-2 vote, so I can't really pass on any formal recommendation regarding this particular text amendment, other than I think John covered kind of the major issues here. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any? Yes, Counselor.
I'm sorry. Any questions for Mr.
I thought maybe you were going to ask him a question. Are any questions for Craig?
Craig or John, I just want to, again, why is it non-conforming to begin with? What was the reason it's
closer
non-conforming?
Closer than 10 foot from the rear side.
Well, pictures back up.
GIS.
Previous. Yeah.
Just see here, you have a 10 foot rear setback off your property lines. Black lines are the property lines, and so you can see that building already is non-conforming. So when you add it on the roof structure right here, that made the entire building more non-conforming.
Okay.
And it's like 2 foot or something. I was going to ask you how close it is.
Yeah. So if either one of those buildings is on fire, that's an emergency problem.
Exactly. The purpose of the setbacks is to service fire and life safety, airflow, all those good things. So maintaining them is important.
Okay, thank you.
May I address Council?
Yes, sir, Councilor.
The technical issue that Mr. Galbraith mentioned is, from a legal standpoint, to me, the most important consideration. If you pulled up the zoning regulations for every local government in North Carolina, you would find, as a general rule, probably 90 to 95% of the time, in the provisions regarding non-conforming structures, that they lose that protected status if you extend in different ways. You could change the use, you could expand the use, but oftentimes they address an extension of the non-conforming structure itself. So what I'm saying is the law in North Carolina is very well settled that extending this non-conformity nullifies the legal protection that it enjoys. So not only do you have an amendment that would allow, theoretically, the change in the roof design for any non-conforming structure, I would also argue that the precedent created by that exception could apply to other additions as well. But more generally speaking, and down to the bottom line, granting the text amendment would be absolutely contrary to your provisions and most of the other general provisions in North Carolina dealing with non-conforming structure.
Thank you. Thank you, Counselor. Okay, gentlemen, that opens it up to our discussion here. I think we've heard from the legal view, we've heard the P&Z view, we've heard the ordinance officer's view. Any points of discussion?
Well, my first thought is it's in the wrong place for a text amendment because it's not a change of roof design, because it's clearly not going from a flat roof to a pitch roof or a pitch roof to a flat roof. This is an addition. So it's in the wrong place in the for a text amendment to begin with, as far as I'm concerned. I have issues with the non-conforming and making it more non-conforming, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I'm with Alan. Additionally, the life safety issues around setbacks are very important to me as a firefighter for 26 years and the emergency manager, and so I'm not supportive of extending any roof lines for outside stuff where you could have a grill underneath there and then suddenly you're jeopardizing the house to the west, because it also has a non-conforming structure. So if you look at it, both of those structures back to back, there's less than 3 or 4 feet between the non-conforming structure to the west. So if you get either one of them on fire before we can get in there and do something, now you have two structures on two lots, and there's lots to the south as well now. So all of that back there should not be made any worse. So I'm ready to make a motion in denial whenever the rest of council's finished with discussion.
Any input, Dennis?
Yeah, I agree with Commissioner Hegler here. I think that the proximity of all of those buildings there present a risk. It doesn't seem feasible. I would be a little bit more lenient, I would suppose, if it were just a few inches or a foot or two. But if you look at that, all of those structures in that corner, I think it's a risk in general. And I think there are alternatives. I mean, I understand the purpose is wanting some shade. Everybody likes a little shade, especially the direction it's facing late in the day. But I think that there are other reasonable alternatives you can put up there to get some shade. So,
big umbrellas.
Big umbrellas, awnings. Other,
yeah,
other
awnings. John, you
have
any input?
Anything additional?
Okay. I'm always troubled trying to tell people what to do with their property. But in this case, I believe we should follow the counselor, stick to the direction of the state law, follow the guidance of the Planning and Zoning Commissioner, Mr. Galbraith, who deals with this stuff constantly and tries to make the town safer. And John has given us his opinion. So I will accept the motion in either direction.
I make a motion to deny the request for a text amendment.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion for denial and a second. All those in favor of denying the text amendment, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay.
And then, Mr. Attorney, do we need to adopt the consistency statement for denial that was submitted?
That is correct, and you do have a, maybe Beth could get it up on the screen, but you should have a link to it in your agenda.
We do. Make a motion to adopt the zoning consistency statement for denial as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. John, we could have saved that gentleman some money if he had come for his permit. So, he's not here this evening, I don't believe. He wasn't here for the legislative program either. Okay. Finance Department.
I just have a couple of things. One, I included in the package the American Rescue Plan Fund, the status report, but I just wanted to highlight in there that we received our second allocation of funds. So we received an additional $334,000, so we have the total amount. It's the final amount we'll get. So in total, we received approximately $668,600.
Okay.
So we'll be using those funds, as you know, we talked about during the budget process with some of our water and sewer projects.
Okay.
The other thing, actually dealing with water and sewer, about a year ago, with the help of engineering services, we applied for two grants to do sewer system, water and sewer system inventory and assessment. And initially, we were not awarded those grants. Well, that has changed, and we will be receiving both of those. We don't know the details yet, but in each case, though, and the town committed to a $30,000 match. So the grant for each one will be $150,000 each, and then a $30,000 match. And that will provide a way for us to go out and inventory the whole water and sewer system, and then also assess the need for any future capital projects.
So do you know what changed? That's awesome.
My guess is more funds available.
Okay.
But that's just a guess.
And so
awesome.
That the project that Commissioner Panicali asked about the south end would be one of the projects that would be on that, correct?
Correct.
Good. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you.
Good.
So one other thing is today I received a request, I guess, from the organization that does the Carolina Beach Police Department bicycle rodeo every year. And I guess typically Kerry Beach has contributed $500, making us a platinum sponsor. So I guess my question is whether we want to make that contribution again. The event's scheduled for Saturday, November 5th.
I think we have participated in this since the beginning.
But we have our own event that we are doing here, the traffic garden we did. So we have our own event now.
Yes, but we're not doing the traffic garden in November.
Not in November, no,
right.
Sir, we're not.
We do the traffic garden in the summer.
And that's so, put on at the Carolina Beach School, correct? Isn't that where they do it at? Or they do it at the rec center now?
I think that's the rec.
Is it the rec center?
They might be moving it to Mike Chappelle Park.
Right.
And they might not be doing a bike rodeo. They might be doing a traffic garden.
Okay.
Because the safety was better at the traffic garden. And they said, oh, we noticed that Kerry Beach did it really well.
Okay.
Okay. I think it's a worthwhile event. I'm supportive of that. Gentlemen, what's your position?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
So Arlen needs a motion and a second.
Yes, he does. Any other comment?
Well, I support bike safety.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
Okay, I'll accept the motion.
I'll make a motion that we support the Carolina Beach bike safety program with $500.
As a platinum sponsor. Mm-hmm. I have a motion. I have a second. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay. You got that, Arlen.
Thank you.
Maybe next year we need to ask Caroline Beach to donate to our bicycle.
Well, we could. Yes, we could. And I believe they would.
And Arlen, can you add that to your list of stuff to put in the budget session so we do it in the budget session instead of now? For next year?
Yeah, I can.
For next year, just on your list?
We do have it's not going to require a budget amendment. We have a line item that will cover this.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure that you wanted to still
participate.
Doesn't that come out of the council budget?
Yes, it does.
Yes, okay. That's what I thought.
Okay.
All right. Fire department.
No updates tonight, sir.
No updates. Ed, how's the, I got a question for you, though. How are the lifeguards doing?
They're doing good. Right now we're probably at about 60% staffing, but school's starting back up, so we do have most of our college students that are attending school out of town leaving or have already left. And then we still have some high schoolers and then those that aren't in school that'll be lingering around. So you will start to see, I think you've already seen over the last few weeks, like I discussed at the beginning of the season, last week, this week, we're slightly short staff. We're usually between 8 to 12 lifeguards with a full staff of 12. And then usually the last week before Labor Day, 6 to 10 lifeguards. We'll try to strategically place them in the high volume areas and then have the beach runners patrol on four-wheelers. And then of course we'll have those that are in college. Most of them usually come back the first the weekend of Labor Day. So we'll have a good staff Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
So we're 2 weeks away, and then we'll still continue to have the two beach patrol from 12 to 8 p.m. until October.
Okay. Thank
Chief,
you.
Chief, question. The distance of from the guard towers to the water now, with the beach being so wide, does that cause y'all any problems this year?
No, sir. Early on when the pipes were still there, it was a little difficult, but no, it hasn't caused a problem. You know, if anything, the guard stands are actually, historically, they're slightly closer to the ocean due to the dune lines pushing out a little bit further. But no, it hasn't been an issue.
Good. Okay. Yes, good.
Last question, Ed. I know it's in the report. I didn't get a chance to take a look at that particular page. Saves? A lot of saves this year, or?
Slightly lower than average. Last year was another slower than average year. We have had, I think you've seen on the text messages, we have had a few spiral type calls due to the extreme low tide that we had. Not sure if it's related to any of the dredging, but we have had some significantly low tides last month. So that was a little abnormal compared year to year as far as saves. We're slightly lower than average. I don't have an exact number for you, but I believe it's around 60 at this time. Yeah. And that usually averages between 40 and 250 rescues a year.
Right. So, okay. Good.
Yes, sir. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank Commissioner Panicali. We had our largest fundraiser for the fire department last weekend, the Gavamon King Mackerel Fishing Tournament. Mr. Panicali actually showed up and assisted the fire department. Probably put in 3 to 5 miles walking back and forth. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the support.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Ed. Mike, police department?
No updates, sir.
No updates? Public Works?
So
Jimmy had to leave for
family emergency, so I'll do the update for Public Works. So first, we got a quote for cleaning the ditches in our budget. During the budget session, we put in $55,000, and these are the ditches that basically drain the water from the town for stormwater to the river. So there's 4 major ditches that carry the majority of the stormwater for the town to the Cape Fear River. One to the north that goes up past Carolina Beach and then joins with Hennifer Ditch. Then one right out here at K Avenue, one that goes right behind parallels 5th Avenue and then goes down Davis Beach Road to the river, and then one just south of there that goes past Assembly Avenue. And so those ditches grow up over time. They're on Motsu property. We've worked diligently to have an agreement. The majority of council, I don't think, Dennis, you actually walked the ditches with us, but everyone else has actually, all your commissioners have walked those ditches all the way to the river. We have to clean them out about every 2 or 3 years. The last time we did it was the fall of 2019, so we're on the correct cycle. We've had Public Works personnel back there monitoring those ditches so that we make sure that we do not stop the town up in a hurricane or a big rain event, because that would be bad. And so the quote's a little higher than we budgeted. With everything, it seems like is expensive. So we're short in the budget by about $10,000. So the quote was $64,100, and we had budgeted $55,000. So we'll be working with Arlen on the budget amendment for next month to address that shortfall. But I just want council to know that we are addressing those ditches. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, we have got verbal approval from Motsu for the proposed stormwater piping behind Settlers Lane for the water issues that we have back there. We are working with staff, and Mandy can tell you, we're getting ready to talk about the money part, but we're working with staff. We need $4,500 for the fee for review that the federal government wants from us so they can review the plans before we get formal approval. For the lease, not for review. So, but until they'll give us formal approval, written approval, we have to give them money, right? So that's how it works, right? So we have to lease the property. And so I would either ask Arlen the right way to do this, but I'd like to propose that we approve that now so that we can get that lease executed and then work on the second part, which is the pipe that we're talking about. Arlen, is there anything you want to give me guidance on how to do that?
We could probably offer...
I mean, we have
There may be sufficient funding at this point. Not maybe, there is sufficient funding in the stormwater fund.
So then it's just, I request approval from council or authorize Arlen to execute a lease for $4,500 for 50 years.
Do we have the lease in hand?
I just have the request for funding.
Yeah, we do not.
Yeah, we don't have the lease yet.
We won't give them, I mean, we'll make, they're good for the money. We'll make sure we get the money worked out, right?
Well, I know that, but it's funny that they don't.
They'll send us lease documents.
Right.
So once we send them the money, then they'll send us the lease documents.
Correct.
We've had other times where we had to pay administrative costs.
Right.
It's the feds, they want their money, right? Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a four-year. This is 4 years in process.
That's
we're going
right.
to do
oh,
this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But
we're going to do this.
So, additionally, we had worked. Commissioner Hendler and I had worked with the was LDSI was it now GPI on the applying for the BRIC grant again, based on the positive feedback we had last year. We were shocked that we did not get it again this year. So that's the second time we've applied for that grant. There is another grant out there, and did reach out to Mr. Hinkle with GPI again about assisting us with the new grant. It's a different grant than the BRIC grant. The details are not all up yet, but I do have money in my budget and my professional services line item if we can work with him, probably around $2,000 in order for him to assist us with that grant, because they have all of our data. I mean, it's just.
Have they shared where we've been deficient in points?
Not on this last one, but on the one before they did. I'd have to pull it up because that was from 2020. But on this last one, I don't have those results yet.
Okay. So, I mean, as
so I was going to bring that up and just say when I talk about how much the, that's fine, how much the pipe's going to cost.
Yeah.
So first, I request permission from council to execute the lease and approve $4,500 from the current stormwater.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's all right. So to get back to Mandy's point, so we have, so GPI, who's our engineering firm, gave us drawings that we gave to Matsu, and that's what they approved this off of. So if I remind council, we talked about four different options for this solution. We picked the one that we thought was the cheapest, which it doesn't feel that cheap, but they will basically end up with a single pipe that starts at 30 inches and comes down to 20 inches by the time it reaches the K Avenue ditch, and has 12 catch basins in it to relieve that water. It's 1,260 feet long behind Settlers Avenue on Matsu property that we just talked about leasing. The current cost estimate for that is $302,300 for the pipe, and then per the lease requirements, we would have to fence that property with an 8-foot fence, just like Carolina Beach had to do for their
greenway.
So what Masu's doing, anytime any entities on their property, lease property, they make them put up a security fence because they can't afford to get it, but they eventually want all of their property fenced because they don't want people going on it, right? So we do not have a complete funding process for that right now, so it's definitely not in the current budget. We would need to work with Arlen on how we would do that if council decides to move forward. So I think I recommend that we work with GPI, see if we get this grant first, and then if we don't get the grant, it goes into the normal budget cycle, and we would do it over the winter.
So GPI is working on like bid documents and stuff, so we
correct.
Can bid the project.
Correct. And then once we understand the grant process and any limitations it may have, then Jimmy and I will work with the town attorney on what we have to do exactly for the project, because that size project requires bid.
And then we'll assist with that.
Correct.
That's part of our contract. GPI this afternoon. It was late.
That's fine. So anyway, my recommendation to council is to authorize Mandy to spend $2,000 from her current budget with GPI to apply for this grant so that we don't have to find the money in other areas.
Yeah, you've already got the money there. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
So then the last public works, oh,
I was just saying, all right, Mandy, she got it.
Thank you.
So then the last Public Works update is, references a little bit one of the comments earlier about the town not maintaining a boardwalk. Over the last 2 years, Public Works has been short one or two people for the entire 2 years of COVID. So we have 13 people on the Public Works Department to do all of your trash, all of your sewer, all of your water, maintain your roads, and do everything. So while I understand the citizens' concerns about maintenance around the boardwalk, please recognize that the town staff was short for the last 2 years. Some of those times, we had up to three or four people out at the same time. And when the Public Works Director, who's not here right now because he had a family emergency, is working 50 or 60 hours, as well as many of his personnel, to maintain all the services of the town, just want to emphasize to the citizens that it's not that the maintenance department doesn't want to do something. The staff chooses the important priority items when they're short. And they've been short for the last 2 years.
And I've mentioned that multiple times, and that's the first time anybody has commented on
it. Well, you haven't mentioned it to me, because I'm pretty sure I would have told you.
Can I make some comments? This is the time to do it. By statute, once a month, governing board in a regular meeting has to provide a period of public comments. The legal commentators call that a forum, a public forum. I mention that because when you're into a public forum, First Amendment issues arise, and although you have some statutory authority how you can regulate the meeting, you also have to pay attention to those protections. Commentators also say that once the public comment session is closed and you start proceeding through the agenda, that time is called government speech. And government speech, the public is not allowed to interrupt or comment or exchange intercourse with the governing board during government speech. Now, sometimes, as we've done in the past couple of months, I understand council wants to be accommodating and provide opportunities. You just need to know that if you provide an opportunity for comment or engage with the public, later on in the agenda after the public comment period is finished, that you are in effect opening up a forum again, and again those First Amendment issues arise. My recommendation is that you do not engage with or permit the public to participate when you're in government speech, and if it's necessary to do so, or if the inclination is to do so, because you're going off of government speech into a First Amendment area, I would suggest that ought to be by motion and vote.
Thanks, Counselor.
Well, thank you, Counselor. Then,
so
I have no further comments at this time, but I'll be glad to talk to you after the meeting.
All right. Recreation Department.
Both items in the rec department are film related this evening. The first is the draft of a new permit we would like to implement. I have a few revisions already to that permit though, so there will be a second draft coming forward based on feedback from the attorney and conversations with individual members of council already. There was one issue that I would like to get some council feedback on prior to bringing forward the second draft. It's with the timeliness of film permit applications. So in there, recently we've been getting a lot of film permit applications at very short notice. And if they have a significant impact to public amenities, you know, they have to come before council, and because there's not a public meeting scheduled, you've been reviewing those through email. And in a way to get out of that habit, I put verbiage in there that would require them to come to public meetings, but there still might be opportunities where you want to review those by email, or the mayor brought up a good point of maybe if it is shorter notice, then there's rapid review tax that is added to, like if they're not getting it to us in time to be reviewed at a public meeting. So I wanted to see where you guys stand on that, if you want to force them to have to come to a public meeting, or if we want to make an adjustment in there to allow them to still be reviewed via email, and if so, how to accommodate that.
Nikki and I had talked about this, and I talked to one or two of you about it, but when these film crews come into town and they ask for everything to be put aside, block areas, do things, it requires that every one of our department heads, all seven of them, have to stop whatever they're doing, stop their schedules, review the emergency plans, review how we would get around the traffic problems, review what we need to do relative to police officers and traffic redirection, what do we have to do for public works, etc., if there has to be construction projects around it. When they give us their input, then we all have to get together and determine if that's a good solution for the town. That normally should take place over the 30-day period between council activities. When they ask for it on Friday and they want to do it next Wednesday, my comment to Nikki was, if we can accommodate that, there should be a fee for the ripple effect through the entire town organization to hop up and make that happen. And that fee, in my particular opinion, should be something maybe on the order of $2,000, something like that. I mean, when I say that, that's not a lot of money to those folks. And I'm not trying to be outrageous about it, but I do think when we disrupt the whole town, there should be a cost for that. So I'm open to other opinions.
Okay, so I have issues, especially the last request we had, the last one, because they drop it in our lap. I think Nikki was off work with some family in town. She had to adjust her schedule to get it out to all of us. I didn't think that was really fair, and we had to hurry up to approve it. And it did have some issues by being the time of the year it is and everything. Mayor, do you think the fee that we're going to tack on for the quick review will encourage them to possibly get it to us quicker?
I don't think they will change the way they do business. I just think that the town should be compensated for jumping through the hoop.
I mean, we all love the film industry being here, but
not all of us.
but you have, but when you have garbage collection, or you may have other things going on during that time, or we have the market or recreation events planned, it causes disruption to the town's business and to our visitors and stuff here. I know they compensate our businesses when they shut down their operation for a day, but it looks like as a larger scale as these events are, they could get us a request a lot quicker to us a lot quicker. So I'm all in favor of doing something to get the request to us a lot quicker.
Plus, there is another point. The town gets very little out of the activity for the movies, though the town does all the work. So, well, the point you made about the businesses, they use the business, they pay them for their foregone, the right profitability, etc. But the town does not receive much for that.
Well, I personally think they should have to come to a council meeting so people have an opportunity to say, we don't want them doing that on our street. So I'm not in favor of any of these approvals via them not coming. And if they can't do it in enough notice, then they don't need to be here. It's not that far. We have a regular meeting every month. They have to apply the Wednesday before, so it's on the agenda, so someone on that street, if they look at the agendas, which are online, they could see that we're going to be talking about them blocking traffic at their house, and they could come speak against it. Right now, they don't, right? So people,
good point.
They get the email from us maybe 2 days in advance that, hey, you're going to be disrupted for your day because all these people are blocking your roads out, right? And so, for me, I think we should just say we're not doing that anymore. I'm glad it came up, and the permit is, you have to have your permit in the Wednesday before the next scheduled council meeting, and then it'll be approved for after that, and scheduled quarterly. And I'll make a motion to that if the rest of council is ready for one, or, but...
Well, you gonna make some adjustments to the thing and bring it back to us, Nikki, based on our comments?
I have a few just verbiage adjustments throughout.
Well, I need at least two more of you guys to agree with me so that she can make that adjustment. But I just think that we've emailed to citizens a couple of times and they couldn't come and say, hey, I don't want you to close the road on next Tuesday. Right?
Councilman, can I ask a question? Do you want to have a public hearing on these permit applications?
I'm fine with it being in a council meeting.
I mean...
If this on the agenda...
So the agenda item would be film permit and public comment.
And people could talk just like a lot of people did tonight before the meeting and say, please don't close my road. Because it's not like they're helping the budget that much, right? I'm not saying that we don't get something out of it, right? But at least the citizens that are impacted could come in and complain about it, right? Right now, they don't. I don't know that I've ever got an email saying someone didn't like the filming, but... If I got an email on a Thursday that Saturday afternoon there was going to be filming all in front of my house, and I knew I had a bunch of people coming, I'd be pretty aggravated. And I'm sure at least a couple of people have not been happy with the filming stuff sometime. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just think they should have to schedule a little better.
Right, and there should be a public forum for the people.
Yeah. I mean, we would... It's all... Our agenda's posted. People would see it on there. They can come tell us what they think about it.
So, Nick,
any other comment?
You were going to make adjustments to your request because the attorney had some stuff for us.
Correct.
Nick, you said that they often amend those requests frequently.
Yeah, the earlier they submit the request from their film date, it seems there's more provisions to the plan as it gets closer. So requiring them to come in and submit it earlier, we will get more change requests. Yeah. But as long as the initial review has taken place in a public meeting.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think it's reasonable, but I also think just a fixed date that they need to get their permit in, maybe 30 days in advance, period, would be a simpler and more straight. I mean, I just think a little bit concerned about a public meeting or the scheduling of our town council meeting. If that ever changes or whatever happens, then I don't know how it... I mean, I just think a fixed date, you know, number of days is just says, you know, you got to...
Council meeting, sometimes it's more than 30 days, depending when it falls.
But yeah, it's like anything else to get on the agenda. It has to be turned into staff by the Wednesday before the...
Yeah, example, the one that's on the agenda tonight was submitted last Tuesday. So luckily, the time of the month they submitted it, I had time to ask all the follow-up questions and get the memo on the agenda by Wednesday at noon, where if had they turned it in Thursday, it wouldn't be on the agenda.
Well, I guess I think we should support the film industry and the film jobs, but I haven't heard from others.
Well, there,
John,
that industry is a bunch of smart people and have tons of money. They ought to be able to schedule things that they need to do or want to do in a timely manner. They have access to the weather reports. They know what this... sun's coming up and going down, and they know when the turtles come and go and all those types of things. They have all that information available that they could say, mm-hmm. If we want to use the premier location of Curie Beach to film a particular show. Now, this last few shows or last few applications have been trying to replicate some city up in Maine or somewhere. But they can comply with our requirements.
Okay. I believe we're going to impact some of the business opportunities, but I'll take a motion for any way we want to go.
Make a motion that film permits are required to be discussed at a monthly meeting prior to approval.
Is that for all or for just the higher impact?
Film permits that impact road closures or closures of any public buildings. How's that?
Perfect.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. And all in favor? Aye.
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 All opposed? No. Okay.
Thank you very much. The second item is a film permit for review. So the Summer at Turn Pretty is filming, and they submitted a request for this Friday afternoon, all day. It's not really a road closure or intermittent traffic control per their word, but it will be a significant slowdown to traffic on Fort Fisher Boulevard during the daytime on Friday. So that's why I brought it forth for you guys for your approval. It'll be a process trailer towing a picture car up and down between Fort Fisher State Historic Site and the recreation base. And then they'll use those two entities to turn around and kind of go back and forth throughout the day. They said they could slow traffic down to about 15 miles an hour when they're on the road.
Now, this request came through DOT. We didn't even know about it, did we?
Yeah, we received notification from DOT when there's impacts to their roads, and that's how I learned about it, and I had to reach out to the film company to get them to submit.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. They don't know who. That's fair. The one sort of unusual thing about it is they say the requested rain dates are August 14th through August 27th. So obviously, they just mean to the 27th, I assume, right?
Correct.
Good.
And like, as a note about that, that includes weekends. So if you guys do approve this, you may want to have a caveat in there regarding weekend days.
It's going 15 miles an hour anyway on the weekend.
I'll make a motion to approve the permit.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nikki.
Be clear for our record, you approved her permit?
Yes.
She doesn't have to come back?
No.
No, which I not.
Okay.
No. The draft has revisions.
Okay. All right. Yes. I just want to make sure, just in my mind, for record. Thank you.
Okay, so moving on to old business. Approve the proposed text amendment for dogs on the beach.
Just want to make sure I got it right. It's there in front of you and possibly up on the screen.
Jim, is this the PDF?
Yes.
I mean, the PowerPoint?
No, this is PTAs for
there
dogs
is no
on the beach.
Right there.
There it is.
Do you have a PowerPoint open?
I believe it's captured correctly, but I'm certainly want to be informed otherwise. The main thing I want to check is what I recall was an effective date next April, and I just want to confirm that and to make sure that that's reflected in the minutes and here in open session, that even though you're amending it, it won't take effect until next spring.
That's true.
That's correct, because we have to change all the signs.
Yep.
So the wording is okay?
I had one question, and I don't know if it's covered anywhere else in our ordinances. And we're talking about dogs on the beach, but there are issues of people bringing other animals on the beach. And do we have anything in our ordinance that prevents goats, sheep, turkeys,
we have some
chickens.
Livestock regulations, but I can't say that I recall them.
I think you can have chickens in your
home.
You,
you
can have chickens in town if you're in a coop.
I was just actually down at a couple of years ago down at the Fort Fisher, and somebody was walking their goat on the beach. So
their sympathy service goat or whatever it is.
The service.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. I this is fine.
Okay, so I just wanted to thank John Shalinsky and the people who have a lot to do with Dogs on the Beach. They awarded me a mug because I said they didn't have a prayer.
Fantastic.
John, it's good fun. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'll give one to the guys that make the venture.
So
yeah, I'll give cups to the ones that voted
for. Yeah.
So I'll make a motion we accept the proposed ordinance and direct town staff to communicate to Port City Daily and the Allen Gazette that it's not effective until April 23, 2023, because the last time when we discussed it, people were telling the lifeguards that, oh, you've changed the rules, and we didn't. So
by the way, all the other rules still apply.
Yeah. Yes.
Leash, everything alcohol, else, that all still applies.
Right. Taking up the
right.
Taking up the bath.
So this doesn't mean just take the dog and forget the rest.
Thank you,
Councillor. So do we need to accept that?
I made a motion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, Dennis, seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, John. All right. Okay, moving on to new business. Approve resolution R-2207 exempting the Benish agreement from the Minnie Brooks Act.
I'll take that, Mr. Mayor. We've been through this before, Minnie Brooks Act. You're using engineers and architects, requires an RFQ process. Statutorily, we are allowed to exempt a proposed agreement from those RFQ requirements so long as it's $50,000 or less on the contract price. This is for the conceptual work of a firm that employs land use architects and engineers regarding the possibility of a park on the Sandman lot. So simply a straight up and down motion to adopt.
Okay. I'll accept the motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve resolution R-2207 by reference.
I'll second.
All right, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Okay. So we will proceed with that design work. Proposed text amendment 5.08, peddling and solicitation.
Just a few points, since you've all had a chance to review these and the other information I provided. The current regs have some issues in the sense that they appear to ban all solicitation, begging, and panhandling in public areas, but they don't define what public areas are. The current system also requires a permit application, which is discretionary. So to address those concerns, we've proposed a complete rewrite of Chapter 5, Article 8. At the present time, as Council knows, these regs do not address busking. Busking is something that's still under review, legally speaking, and I'm not sure yet how to approach that or even to approach it at all. But these regs don't address busking. They only address begging, panhandling, and soliciting as defined. To be very succinct about it, we gave a definition to public places which includes places that are owned by the town, yes, but also includes places that are not owned by the town. You can see that in the definition. And rather than ban it in all public places and not define what public means, we've limited it to, basically here's how it works, no solicitation in the town's right-of-ways in the improved section of those right-of-ways. But the right-of-way extends 10 or 20 feet to the left and right and encompasses sidewalks or unimproved, dirt. What I want to do on that part of the ordinance, which if you look on page 5, 508030F within the improved sections of the town's public right-of-ways. I want to change improved and put paved instead because a sidewalk could be an improvement. So the bottom line is if somebody's in the street, they can't solicit if they're on the sidewalk or the dirt, they can. So long as they're not engaged in any of these prohibited acts. We've dropped permits, we've dropped applications. We recognize the right to, the right under the First Amendment to solicit bait and panhandle. But as you all know, there's been a lot of prohibitions, or a lot of the regulations have been struck down by the way they're worded, whereas reasonable time, manner, and place restrictions are found to be enforceable. So we've taken the old no solicitation in public places and replaced it with no solicitation basically in the street, but we left open the adjacent sections of the right-of-way. We've also acknowledged that on private property, public places that are on private property, if someone wants to exercise their right there, that's their business, and it's also the property owner's business. The most we can do with respect to private property is declare somebody soliciting on private property when notice has been posted not to do so as a violation of the code. But that's as far as we can go with private property. So if you take the concept that there are public places within private property in addition to the public places which are, quote, town-owned, then we've actually opened it up quite a bit to the unimproved sections of the right-of-ways and to other public places, absent the property owner posting notice against. And that, in a nutshell, that's it. We've, you've got your list of prohibited acts, certainly no solicitation in an aggressive or intimidating manner, under the influence of alcohol, after sunset, before sunrise, in town vehicles or public transportation authority vehicles, within parking lots and designated parking spaces. Again, public welfare is served by getting the solicitor out of the street, out of the parking space, out of the parking lot. But in exchange for those restrictions, they still may solicit on the adjacent areas of the right-of-way and in other public places that the town doesn't own. Within any 50 feet of a bank, within 50 feet of town hall, fire station, parks, the community center, and the beach access points. Again, the time, place, and manner restrictions are designed for public welfare and public safety. Mm-hmm. So that's the approach we've taken, and I'll be glad to answer any questions you might have.
I don't have any trouble with what you've explained, Counselor. This is pretty much stationary stuff, and I know you can't block a sidewalk or whatever, but how about mobile solicitation? Ice cream truck, food truck. Does this impact any of that?
That's a business, right?
Yeah, signage, I think it almost falls under, but I don't. You know, that's a good point, Mayor. I don't know if we can address that in the definition. Let me look at something real quick.
I mean, yeah. I don't have a lot of issues with the things you've said and the changes that you're after. I was just trying to think of implications and if there are implications in that area. And I don't know the answer yet.
Well, I draw a distinction between advertising, which is what you're talking about, and soliciting, but I do see how it could fall, how commercial, it could be treated as commercial. You're soliciting customers for your ice cream truck, so I do see that. And we can simply put a sentence in the definition for soliciting that vendors, advertising, I don't know what it is yet, but mm-hmm. we can put a sentence in there to okay. cover that but, hypothetical.
But don't we have something in our ordinances about, like, food trucks and stuff have to be on private property?
I'm not sure.
Well, see what
John left
they're here. Soliciting, too.
Well, I know. I mean, I thought we'd had this conversation
business,
before.
Business, not donation, though.
Yeah, it's business, not donation.
Accepted from this definition are the advertising methods of vendors, licensed or otherwise.
So do we permit those?
We definitely do during our fairs.
Bring your food trucks in, but I think food trucks, I just want to make sure I understand it right, because food trucks, I think, if I'm correct, are allowed, like, if Sam wanted to put it in a convenience, he wanted to put a food truck in the parking lot.
Sure can.
It's on his private property, he could do that. We don't allow food trucks on public streets or park property unless it's permitted by us.
Right. So what about the rest of the property defined here?
I don't know.
I think there's an ice cream truck that drives around sometimes.
There is.
I'm pretty sure there is.
Rather than get in the weeds, I think we can come up with a sentence that...
Okay. I'd like to kind of get to that as well if we can.
So I'm not sure which... Are you, like, worried about food trucks being a problem and trying to...
Of discussion where we have restricted this activity. That's just historical, whether it's right or wrong or whatever. We have had some degree of restriction in this activity. Yeah. And we've had some degree of restriction in the activity of food trucks in support of our restaurants. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to know what we're changing.
Right. So I don't think the food trucks were restricted by the previous... Previous provisions that we just changed because our attorney told us that they could get us in trouble, right? Which is what his job is. So I think he may want to look at what the restrictions are out there right now, and I wish John was here because he might know exactly what they were. But I think the food truck restrictions are targeted more under the business aspect of it than solicitation. So I think... If you're worried about them, we should look at the different texts that they're restricted under now and see if those apply. But I think this is comfortable where it is. I don't know that adding a definition for food trucks, at least in my mind, is a commercial entity to a solicitation ordinance makes sense. I don't think mixing them up makes
My point was, I think we already have addressed that.
I do too, I think.
But I can't find
it. I'm cool
I just
with
want
an attorney
to know if this changes
it.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. General, 5.08, the general title of that is peddling in solicitation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Peddling. And so in earlier iteration, people had to apply for permits, and I assume that food trucks would be permitted. Nikki, when we have an event...
I'd come to council to get approval to include them in events. John has always said they're not allowed unless they are have a brick and mortar.
Right, so I would assume that provision covered those food trucks as peddling. I mean, and so now I'm only concerned if somebody's trying to sell, knockoff watches on the sidewalk downtown. That's peddling as well. That's not necessarily soliciting or begging or... So I just don't know where you cut that off.
Well, I'm sure there's a way, but I guess what needs to be looked at first is the code with respect to the type of entities that you've been talking about. I did not review those sections. So we can do one or two things. We can add something to the definition that carves out what needs to be carved out, like an ice cream truck, for example, because they are engaging in commercial speech within the right-of-way. I understand that. That's an interesting point. I think it can be easily carved out if the code doesn't address it in some other fashion. So we can adopt this. You all can consider adopting this with the idea that if the code addresses it, it's fine. If the code doesn't address those exceptions, then that would be the next set of text amendments I would bring to you.
Okay.
Or we can refine this draft, table it, and bring it back next month with some legitimate carve-outs for those types of examples.
One more question, Jim, if I can. Counselor, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Jim's fine.
The guy who stops at my house, rings the doorbell, and asks me if I want to use Spectrum cable.
He's soliciting.
Okay. That's not peddling.
And these regs allow you to control that by putting a notice on your property about no
No soliciting, okay. So that, I did see that in here. So that is soliciting, that's not peddling.
That's commercial, that's commercial speech solicitation.
Okay.
So okay. The challenge is the ice cream truck type scenario. That's the challenge to figure out if it's addressed somewhere in the sign regs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Be addressed there.
Frankly, I grew up with ice cream trucks. I don't have a problem with an ice cream truck. I just want to make sure that we've got ourselves covered here. I'm okay with this as far as the... So this is a solicitation if somebody has their hat out while they're playing their guitar? Is that solicitation? I know it's busing, but...
I can put a car out for busking and define busking. What I want to do, and it's been a challenge because of the current state of the law, as were these regs a challenge, I want to achieve a better legal understanding of busking before I approach that. It may be that I've determined that busking fits into this. It may be that I've determined busking requires its own set of regulations. I don't know the answer to that right now. But if we included busking within this, they certainly have the same First Amendment protections that solicitors, bakers, and panhandlers have. So
okay, also, how about begging?
Begging is, if you look at the proposed title for in red on page 3, the title is Soliciting, Panhandling, and Begging. So begging is definitely covered under these regs.
Okay, because the last thing I really would like to see is somebody standing at the light on the island.
I don't understand how that happens in Wilmington as much as it does. Because to me, that's a dangerous situation.
Okay. Gentlemen, what's your views? What would you like to do?
And remember, if you do vote to approve it, that I want to, on page 5, I want to change in subsection F, improve and substitute pay for that.
I mean, are we going to solve anything by not waiting another month for him to work through some of these?
That is one view, John. But
are you going to have to bring back? If we approve this tonight, it's not you're not going to have to rewrite this coming back to us. You're just going to bring something else back to us.
Come back and tell you whether the hypotheticals are addressed somewhere else in the code or need to be addressed.
Okay.
Okay.
So I make a motion we except with the change on section F to change improved sections to paved sections of the town's right of way.
Second.
Okay. This does need to be done. We need to clean this up. So
do we need to reference that one section that you wanted to change?
He did. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. Thank you, Counselor.
And,
that's tough.
We'll report back next month on your hypotheticals.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
If it's already covered, I'll probably just address it in a joint email.
Okay. Thanks, sir. All right. Next would be mayor updates. I think we've covered most of the business that we had expected to cover this evening. Any commissioner updates? John?
No.
Al?
No, sir.
David?
Yes, I'd just like to direct staff to add the boardwalk as a agenda item to next month's meeting and advise council to have an idea on which way we want to go on that so we can tamp down the requests from citizens about what our plans are.
Dennis?
Nothing.
Okay. All right, then I will accept the motion to close.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Don't want to talk about it.
Pleasure.